Westminster Weekend, up next on Abounding Grace Radio. Join us. Pastor Chris Gordon, and on behalf of the Linden United Reformed Church, we bring you Westminster Weekend.
Thanks, Chris. Hi, this is Scott Clark for Westminster Weekend. This is part two of our two-part series with Dr. Dennis Johnson, professor of practical theology at Westminster Seminary, California. Dennis is the author of several well-regarded and widely read books, including Him We Proclaim, Preaching Christ from All the Scriptures, and Triumph of the Lamb, a commentary on Revelation. You can find these titles and more at the bookstore at Westminster Seminary, California, wscal.edu/bookstore. And now we pick up where we left off last time.
And you're one of the earlier faculty members on this campus.
I am, yes. I started in the spring of 82, and of our current active faculty, Dr. Godfrey, who came in the fall of 81, is the only one who's been around here longer than I.
Yeah, Dennis is our institutional memory. So when we want to know how did we do that, Dennis knows, or at least he used to know.
Or at least Dennis knows that he once knew, and that's part of the plight of our institutional memory.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you've had phases in your life, as we all do, stages in your life, and much of your life has been spent teaching here at Westminster Seminary, California, most of the last 30 years, training mostly men for pastoral ministry, and then about 30% of our students to fulfill other vocations. I know this is a broad question, but how has it been? And what, if you had to tell someone, what's the one thing that you've come to really love about teaching here, what would you say?
It's been good. Sometimes it's been very hard. For 16 years, as you know, Scott, I taught New Testament courses. And then in 97, a search committee and the faculty invited me to switch over into practical theology. And I've told my wife that was my midlife crisis. I'm not not changing wife, not changing even workplace, but changing job significantly. And that was an interesting ramp up to think more about preaching and Christian education and so on. Dr. Ed Clowney, you mentioned the book of collected sermons from my brothers in the ministry that who learned Christ-centered preaching from Ed. He was on our search committee, and he encouraged me to smuggle all of my New Testament stuff into PT courses, practical theology courses, any way I could find. And I followed his advice to the best I can.
And so, his example as well. I mean, it's not
that's true. That's definitely
not like
true.
Ed didn't
rich
just
biblical theology exactly in all of Ed's courses. So it's been a challenge, but it's been a real delight and a real joy. And I would say the Ministry of the Word and Worship course, the opening course, which is what I've been privileged to teach since 97, is one of the high points when students are coming in and I get to introduce them to a Christ-centered hermeneutic. Some of them, of course, come having heard Christ preached week by week from the pulpit, or having studied from others who see that unity of Scripture in their college work. But some, it's new, and some are dragged a little kicking and screaming to see that that really is in all of Scripture, that you can teach and preach Christ even from Old Testament texts that don't name him by name, or that are not quoted in the New Testament, but there's the pattern that's always leading them to Christ. So that's a thrill to get to introduce them to that. And I think the other thrill is to see graduates after they're out and after they're in ministry, and just to see God's fruit in their ministry, to hear whether it's pastors preaching in pulpits here in the U.S. or whether it's those involved in cross-cultural missions in other countries, just to see that what they've learned here, not just from me, but from all of us, and the unity that we have as a faculty wanting to present the unity of Scripture and the person of Christ and the fullness of the gospel, that to see that bear fruit in their ministry is, I would say, probably one of the greatest thrills for me.
Some people would look at the way we tend to read Scripture, in a Christ-centered sort of way, and they might suggest that it's artificial. How would you respond to people who say, well, yes, Jesus is in the Bible, but the Bible isn't really all about Christ?
How many hours do we have for this answer?
Well, we can edit, so you just go and we'll fix it.
Well, I would say, I would take them to some texts of Scripture. I would take them to Luke 24, the account of the resurrection appearances of Jesus, to the two on the road to Emmaus and to the larger group, and just point out that Jesus takes every portion of the Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets, to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, the Law of the Prophets, and then the Psalms represents that third category of the canon in the Hebrew way of looking at the Old Testament Scriptures, and says that it's all about him. And then I would probably take them to examples of the way the apostles and the other inspired New Testament writers point us to Scripture, to Old Testament Scripture, and show how Christ fulfills Old Testament Scripture, that Christ is the second Adam, the last Adam, that where Adam failed, Christ has perfectly obeyed, and therefore, as we all die in Adam, so all who are in Christ are made alive and will be made alive in his resurrection forever.
In the 17th century, John Bunyan gave us the character Mr. Valiant for Truth. In the 20th century, God gave us another Mr. Valiant for Truth, J. Gresham Machen, the founder of Westminster Seminary. The spirit of Machen lives on at Westminster Seminary, California, where for 30 years we've been fulfilling his vision of training men for ministry and preparing them to be expert in the Bible. WSCAL.edu, 888-480-8474, Westminster Seminary, California, for Christ, his gospel, and his church.
I would talk about the covenant structure of the Bible, that God always relates to his human creatures in a covenant in which he comes as Lord, and he calls us as servants to obey. And then, of course, when Adam disobeyed, we have a new arrangement promised as early as Genesis 3:15 that there will still be an obedient human. The seed of the woman will come and will defeat the serpent where Adam failed, and that promise of a faithful covenant servant who is descended from Eve and who will win the victory for us is just elaborated throughout the Old Testament Scriptures. And so we know that the New Testament writings are written to particular needs and particular congregations, and yet in those writings that are designed by God's sovereign providence, he's giving us a way of reading the whole Scripture, the ancient Scriptures, and seeing how every strand, whether the work of the prophets or the priests or the kings, sometimes in their relative faithfulness, mm-hmm. often in their terrible unfaithfulness, are all pointing ahead to the ultimate prophet, priest, and king. Mm. It would be those kinds of things that we could talk about together. And I would hope that they could come to see, as we really want to learn not only what to preach from the apostles, but how to read Scripture from the apostles, that they're really teaching us a way of seeing the whole Scripture as united in Jesus.
All of us here are training future pastors in one way or another. But as you know, you and Julius and others have an opportunity to work with students directly on their preaching, to take their biblical study and to shape that into the form of a sermon. As you do that, and as you then get to shape them as they learn for the first time to stand in a pulpit and to address a congregation and begin to expound a text of Scripture, what's your goal for them?
That's a great question. Well, I want them, subjectively, I want them to go from this place with an even greater confidence in the power of the gospel to change people's lives. The power of calling people not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in Jesus, in his perfect obedience and his sacrifice and his resurrection. That not only as we rest in him are we reconciled to God, and acceptable, pleasing to him for Jesus' sake. But in that whole process, that's all justification. But that then justification leads to a life of sanctification. And sanctification, of being transformed into the image of Christ, is really a life of obedient gratitude or grateful obedience. I know that people have sometimes heard an emphasis on Christ-centered preaching as being against application or against calling people to respond. I think that's a mistake. If it's ever that, then it's not fully apostolic Christ-centered preaching. Hmm. But the response that we make is a response that comes as a result of what Christ has done for us. And it is a response that we're called to make in gratitude, in confidence that the Holy Spirit will transform us more and more into the image of Christ. Our relation to God is settled once for all by what Jesus has done for us in his perfect obedience and his sacrifice and resurrection. And then living out our gratitude for that obedience is a lifelong process, which the Holy Spirit is very active in. So that's what I want them to come away with in terms of preaching a whole gospel, the gospel, and then the fruit that flows from faith in the gospel. I want them to do it in a way that shows love and compassion for the people. I want them to do it in a way that's clear for people to understand, not only for ancient saints. I'm almost an ancient saint now. But there are others that I still look at and say, I want to grow up to be like them when I grow up.
Yeah.
You know, but for new believers, new adult believers who have been converted out of a background where they really haven't been exposed, for young children, our covenant children. So I want them to be able to take the theology that we're teaching here, including the terminology that we teach here, but then to be able to translate the terms in ways that are not only clear, but also show the vividness of the biblical truths that we're dealing with as we introduce people to the greatness of God and to the depth of our sin and then to the wonder of God's redemption in Christ.
As you're laying this out, because I'm here and we agree so much on what you're saying, it's hard for me on one level to imagine anyone listening to that and saying, well, I don't believe that. But clearly there are people out there who don't believe what you just said, who would say, well, no, that's not really what is going on. Can you imagine, and you don't have to think hard, you just have to think about some of the students that come in from a different background who've never heard this before. Why would anyone struggle with what you just said?
Well, I don't know if I hear it so much from students who have come here. I mean, some would come saying, this is new and foreign, and I don't think I agree with it. But at least from what I'm aware of what's going on in the church outside, some would say, that's too theoretical, that's too theological, that's not practical. What people need is coaching on how to reconcile their problems in everyday life. Or they would say, it's too individualistic and not concerned enough about the needs in society more generally. And I do believe that when the gospel really gets a hold of us, it does make us concerned not only about our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, but it should make us concerned to show his grace in our lives, in the way we relate to neighbors who don't know the Lord as well, and in our compassion for the suffering and the poor as well.
Thanks, Dennis. That's it for Westminster Weekend. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us again next week, same time, same station, for another episode of Westminster Weekend. Find us on the web at wscal.edu or call us at 888-480-8474.
Westminster Weekend was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. Join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times on the Lord's Day. You can visit us on the web at lindenurc.com, or you can give us a call, 360-318-0429. Again, that web address is lindenurc.com. We thank you for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.